Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning.
I have a story today about a client named Jack, and I'm just going to preface it by saying Jack is a made-up name because we keep confidentiality for clients in all sessions. And Jack asks me if I can connect to a guy named Sam. And Sam says to me at the very beginning of this, he's my brother. And this is going to be a lot about family dynamics. Are you ready?
Well, what option do you have?
Right. Yeah. And I said, okay. So I said to Jack, okay, is it accurate? Sam's your brother? And he said, yeah. And I said, is this basically that you're asking about family dynamics? That's what he's telling me. I'm just looking for validations at this point. And he says, yeah. He says, it has a lot to do with that. Jack says, I want to go open. Is it okay if I just sort of put it out there and let him say anything in case other things are important to the family dynamics? And I said, yeah. I said, I think it's great that you take that attitude in case medical or anything else is part of this. And so he says, I'm just ready to listen and I'm recording and I want to do some doodling. So then Sam says, well, he says, to get right to the point is that he's angry with me about my behavior. And I said, okay, is it justified? And he goes, oh yeah. He says, but I never would have admitted that on earth. And that's why he really wants this conversation, because there was no way on earth I was ever going to give him the honesty. And I said, could you have? Did you know? And he said, yeah. He says, I did. I knew what I was doing. And I said, well, maybe that's the first thing that needs to be said, is that you did know what you were doing. So I repeat that to Jack and I say, Sam is saying that you want to know about his behavior, but kind of the bottom line is you want to know if he was aware of what he was doing. And he says, yes. Jack kind of throws up his hands, Kelly, and I thought the session was over. I thought he was going to go away and just say, okay, that was it. Because the level of satisfaction, the look of satisfaction, that I saw on his face was just incredible. But then he gets excited and he says, oh my God. He says, like, I can't even begin to tell you how excited I am to hear everything that he has to say. And I sat there in that moment, Kelly, and I thought, oh my God, how many people want that moment? Me included. Like, just where you sit there and you get that answer, did they really know or not? Because of the crazy making that goes on in that relationship for a variety of reasons that you might do to yourself, that society trains you to do to yourself, that his brother may have done to him, the rest of the family, the conditioning of the family. Like, there's so many reasons that you can feel like you've been crazy your whole life. And all of a sudden, you're sitting there and there's this moment where you realize, oh my God, I'm going to get this clarity. When so many of us don't get the honesty and the clarity, all of those things, until we're dead, until we're on the other side. So I said, Sam, tell me the story. And he said, well, he said, I'm going to tell you two stories. He said, the first story is simply that Jack went through a divorce. And he said, this is when it really escalated. He said he and his wife split up, and he said, I continued to be friends with his wife. I never spoke to him about it. I never told him I was going to do it. I just did it all because it was just what I wanted to do, and it was behind his back. And it actually took him like years to figure out that I was doing that behind his back, because, you know, like I withheld it. So if he asked me, like, what'd you do today? I didn't say, I spent the day with your wife, your ex-wife. Like, I didn't say, I'll name her Barb, but again, that's a made-up name. I didn't say I had supper with Barb, or I I went to her house and I helped her garden, or I went and played tennis with her. He said, I never said anything like that. He says, I would say things like, oh, I gardened and I played tennis. And it took a very long time before Jack got any kind of inkling. It took years before it came out that Sam was spending that time with her. So Jack comes to realize, how many times has he withheld information on purpose to give me a truth, but not a whole truth, so that he could keep his relationship with me and his relationship with her. Mm-hmm. And so it literally, he says to Jack, I did this from the minute you guys split up. And Jack looks at me and he goes, that's one of my questions. He goes, I wanted to know if it was kind of something that happened right away, or like, is this something that he decided to do after 5 years after the divorce? And he felt that I had moved on and that he bumped into her one day, or they reached out and decided, okay, Jack has moved on. He's enjoying life, or he's healing, whatever he's doing. And it's appropriate? No, it started immediately. So Jack sits there and goes, okay. He said, I kind of suspected that, given that he would do it at all. He says, and I had to start trying to really piece things together. And he said, but I didn't really know how to do that. And I said to Sam, how come neither of you know how to do it? And he says, well, that's the second story. And the second story, he says, is the first story. It's the one that came first. And that is the story of my mom and dad and how they raised us to be able to see people as useful things in our lives, to be useful to us as opposed to connect to each other. And I thought, oh, that's really interesting. And he said, yeah, he said, mom and dad used each other as useful things. You're going to do this. You cook, you clean. Everything was about, if I don't want to do something, how can I get you to do it? If I can't get you to do it, how do I get my oldest? How do I get my youngest? At what age would this one be able to do such and such a thing? And he said, everything was based on serving their, like a purpose for something. But it was very important to say, to be useful to them. I don't mean useful to the family or to the betterment of that person, to the parent, to each one of them. And he said, and I really didn't even understand all of that until I died. And Jack has come to figure it out, but just very recently, he's starting to see, oh, people just use each other. But didn't connect it with his own parents and didn't connect it with his own family, though he could certainly see it in the world. He certainly could see it in another couple. He could see it like outside, but he wasn't looking at his own family and going, oh my God, this is the dynamics of my unhealthy family. And this, if I can start seeing things this way now, I can start getting answers to some of my other questions about why or when or how, because if I do that, I can look back and go from the beginning. I don't have to ask the question. I can say from the beginning, because the beginning was right from the moment we were born. So it truly is the beginning. So I say this to Jack, and Jack says to me, okay. He says, my head spins, and he says, but in such a, like a good way. He says, I don't know how to describe and like how I feel like it pulling apart and making sense, but also like sort of taking some past confusions to the front again. And he said, this is helpful to hear him say that all of this is true and that I'm doing okay and that I am figuring it out and that I am right. He says, because sometimes currently in my life, Karen, I will confront somebody about it and say something to them like, I think this is just useful for you. Like, or I think you're using me. That was it, using. And he says, and the other person would gaslight me. And then I'd go off and I would question myself again. And then he says, I had to stop questioning myself because I realized that that was also the conditioning of my parents and everybody in my family, was that if you start second guessing it, then they get to continue doing it to you. If you stop second guessing it, then you can stop the pattern of it. But he says, what I realized too is that, and this is Jack, if I stop the pattern of it, then the people in my family don't like me because I'm no longer useful. So I got discarded in my family. And Sam says, that's right. And he says, and I didn't. I stayed within the family unit because I lived my entire life and I died in that, like doing both things, being useful to other people and seeing other people for their usefulness to me. And he says, including you, Jack, and including your ex-wife. And he said, so I saw you as that, if I called you up, if I felt like, geez, it's Easter, it's Christmas, it's a holiday, I feel like that pressure of family. So I'll reach out and I'll ask you if I can come over and have a meal with you, but you're going to cook the meal for me. Because I don't really want to do much and you'll get some Easter-y stuff. So I'll drop some lines about it's Easter, be nice to be with family so that you might decorate or you might get some chocolates or you might do something nice. And that'll make me feel good, but I'll just show up. And my showing up will just be like your gift, my presence. And Jack just says to me, he just kind of laughs and he goes, oh my God, no truer words ever spoken. He said, because that's exactly what I got tired of. He said, that's exactly what happened and how I just fatigued in him coming over and me just feeling being used. And if I said, you know, let's go to a restaurant, this was so funny. If I go to a restaurant, then Sam expected Jack to pay because he had got invited. So it was like, no, no. So and when I brought that up, Jack said to me, oh my God, he said, this is such a good example of how much he used me that it was like, you're either going to cook for me in my house or you're going to take me out for dinner. And it's not going to be two adults going out. It's going to be, no, this is the role I need you to be in, but I've determined the role, but I haven't told you the role. So you're just going to like fit into it for me. And if you don't, then I'm going to be mad at you and I'm going to confront you and I'm going to say, what's wrong with you? Like, what's going on? And make it about you. And Jack just kind of like holds his head in his hands and he goes, this is all the crazy making that I'm talking about that I needed like on the table today. Mm-hmm. I needed to hear that he knew what he was doing because I felt crazy in those moments because then he'd come at me. And I would stand there and go, oh my God, you're twisting everything. And I would try and confront him about the twisting. And then he'd get even madder about, like about that. And I said to Jack, I said, do you know the 15 forms of verbal abuse? And he goes, not really. He says, but I think I could sit here and say, you know, yelling at me. He says, I think I could say some swearing. And I said, no, I said, that's not what I mean, but yes. They are. But I said, Patricia Evans' book, The Verbally Abusive Relationship, would illustrate the 15 forms of abuse so that you could actually identify them and be able to think of that relationship and know what they are. So you don't feel crazy about what was happening. And he goes, so I could play a scenario in my mind and then look at the list. And I said, yeah. And then you could actually just write it down in that conversation or those experiences, this is what happened, so that I actually understand the feelings I was feeling. And he goes, Karen, he goes, that's going to open a can of worms because I've had to shove down the feelings. And he says, now you're telling me that I can bring the feelings back and how to do it. And I said, yes, because you need to let those feelings come up so that they actually can be felt. That's called processing. And he goes, oh, I didn't realize feeling was processing. He goes, I thought processing was just understanding it. And I said,
sorry, go ahead.
It is to a degree, but you have to be careful you don't just intellectualize it. And I said, because you may want to stay in the understanding it and learning about it, but you still have to do the emotional feeling of it, or you just stay in a defense mechanism called intellectualization. And I said, and even at that, you could step into rationalization because you want to rationalize that it's reasonable that he did that because mom and dad did. And then you end up rationalizing it, which is another defense mechanism. And he goes, holy shit, this is complicated. And I said, well, giving you the forms of verbal abuse allows you to identify that you were being abused. And when you just sit in that moment of identifying it, you are learning it, which is what you want. But at the same time, take a pause so that you can feel what you're feeling. Go ahead. Were you going to say something?
Yeah, the same way that you said, like, understanding something is a form of processing too, but you don't want to just stay there. The same is true for feelings. So just feeling something is not the entirety of what processing is, right? So, yeah. And there are many people who stay in just the intellectualization, like you said, or just the feelings, mm-hmm. and don't move to an understanding, and the feelings get all consuming, which is what a lot of people fear, right? Mm-hmm. And why they want to avoid it. Mm-hmm. Enter the defense mechanisms of intellectualizing. Mm-hmm. But for some people, they stay in the feelings and they let the feelings be what controls them, mm-hmm. right? They become reactionary mm-hmm. and then over-identify with their feelings, and that's not what processing is. So it's striking a healthy balance of all the different centers of intelligence to learn from an experience and fully process something.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Thank you.
Yeah, all parts are necessary, and I think that's just a good blanket statement about our humanness. All parts are necessary.
Thank you. So Sam says to Jack, I want you to know that, like, I died and didn't get any of this. I didn't understand any of it. And Jack says to me, I appreciate him saying that. I know that, but I appreciate him saying that. And then Sam says, I went through life the way mom and dad raised us. And I'm saying it in that way as the first statement. That I just went through life seeing your ex-wife as fulfilling needs for me. So if she was cooking, then I went there. If you said no to the Easter or the Christmas, I called her and said I was free and asked her what she was doing and got an invite. He said, so I really went through life using everybody, you included, and I'm seeing that now since I'm dead. And he said, so my apology comes from now. It comes from this moment in time with that level of awareness that I did that. And he said, Jack, he says, because of all of that, he says, I also need to and want to come forward to say that I didn't love you. And Jack just kind of looked at me and he went, well, wait a minute. And I said, well, let him finish. You asked him to speak. Notice I didn't say, don't interrupt me. Sam says, we need to go slow. He says, I want to say that I'm learning and that I'm seeing my behavior. I'm also seeing that as an adult, when I had the ability to change, when I had the ability to get help, to learn, to do anything that I wanted to do to change these behaviors that I chose not to because it was all working for me. Even though it wasn't on a deeper level because I wasn't feeling feelings, I wasn't growing, I wasn't receiving love, I wasn't giving love. He says, you know, it looked that way because I did certain things. And he says, and because I said certain things. And he says, but I really actually wasn't authentically myself. And he said, and I'm learning on the other side that I lived an entire life. Like, I think Sam ended up confirming that he was in his 70s when he passed. And he says, I lived like 7 decades avoiding all of the things that could have brought that change in my life so that I could have been somebody who felt love and that gave it. And he says, I didn't do anything like that. And he said, Jack, what you're doing sitting here is you're trying to find the authenticity. You're trying to find who you actually really are. You are picking up these books. You are listening to the podcast. You are doing these things. And he said, I just want to say that you're choosing. And I think Jack was like, when I saw him, was like probably in his early 70s. And he said, I say that so that listeners can hear this and go, oh shit, I'm only in my 50s. I've got 20 more years. Or, oh, I'm only in my whatever, right? Like, it's not too late at any age to begin trying. And so he says to his brother, I see that you're trying and that you're on earth doing it. And I want to say to you, I want to be here today to say that I wish that I had. There's remorse, there's regret for this. And he says, and the regret and the remorse is love. It's part of what we feel when we actually love. Love isn't just these warm, fuzzy feelings of, oh, you did something for me and it makes me feel so good, so I love you. It's remorse. It's regret. That is love. And Jack sits in front of me and he goes, I never in a million years, if I was asked to define love, would have said it was those things.
Well, it includes those things. Like, just to be clear, because I think some people will be listening to this and they will have gone through something quite abusive in their relationships, and someone will give the lip service or the tantrum of remorse and regret, and they'll want to remember this and go, oh, see, they do love me because they're showing remorse and regret and they've horribly abused you. That is not what we're speaking to, mm-hmm. right? When you genuinely feel the remorse and regret for hurting someone, for causing pain in someone's life, that is an aspect of love. And I will also note too that if you're listening to this and, you know, trying to draw your own parallels, that isn't necessarily enough to warrant staying in a relationship. Just because someone does love you or has the ability to, loves aspects or shows aspects of love, doesn't mean that's a relationship worth staying in for you. Mm-hmm. You're allowed to raise the bar. This happens to be between brothers, right? Where he is showing that, okay, he's able on the other side to experience love for his brother. That's a very different situation.
Exactly why. Anyway, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes, that is perfect. And then like this comes to the end of the session where Sam says to Jack that he sees the changes that he's making and talks about them and just says, I would like to be part of that because I'm changing on the other side.
Sam.
What did I say?
Jack.
Sam.
Sam says he's watching. Okay, got
it. Right? Yeah. Sam wants to be part of what Jack is doing on Earth. And that Sam is trying to say to him, I do care and I'm learning on the other side the things mom and dad didn't do and didn't learn and didn't change. And I see you doing it, and I'm here doing it. So I want you to know you're not the only one. And when I said you're not the only one, Jack says to me, that will be the end of the session. And I said, okay, did that hit something for you? Yeah. He says, because I still feel that our other siblings are still behaving the same way as Sam, and I feel very alone. Mm-hmm. And he said, so to hear that makes me really happy. And to end the session, Sam says to him, I'd like to give you a sign. He says, I know that you're not into all of this stuff in that way, but I would like to give you a sign so that every once in a while when you get this sign, that it will remind you that you're not alone and that you're not the only one doing all of the work and that we on the other side, mom and dad now, because they're on the other side, that we are doing our work and that you do have a family, we're just in the spirit world. So he didn't pick it, and neither did Jack. He just said to him, pick one, and I promise that I will give you that sign so that you don't feel alone.
Neat. So inviting him into a relationship.
Yeah.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
That's a hard session.
Very.
Yeah. That's a lot to process. And it's, as you mentioned, it's never too late to start trying. So it's nice to see that Jack is doing the most he can to love himself and stay open to healing. Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlos. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.